Are y'all good? Okay. Y'all notice I grew my hair out again? There's a reason for that. I'm in battle. This is how my Indians see me in Mexico. Most of the time when you see me, it's been all cut up and chopped down, and so you wouldn't be offended, but I'm way over that now. Okay. All right, here's the problem. We was in, last year at this time, we were at Brother Larry's, helping with recovery from Katrina. All y'all helped here, thank you. The ones of you that applies to, there's several of you in here. Lots of you came down there where we were in other places and you poked your nose around and did some stuff. We thank y'all. Y'all gave some of y'all soldiers to us and we worked them, and they'll tell you I'm a pretty hard guy to work with. I cuss a lot, and I fume and fuss and push and don't take no for an answer. That's how you get the kingdom won. And that's how you save people that are dying. I want you to understand this. Thank y'all. There's lots of y'all that helped do what I'm fixing to say. But the Katrina last year, we was in the middle of it and at this time. I was in Montana with our whole ministry doing a bicycle ride when Katrina hit, and God spoke to me, bicycle as in road bikes. We did 1,000 miles on a bicycle. I like doing that. The bear, the elk, the moose, all that, I enjoy it. And we always do up there in Canada and the western U.S. Not always, but we'll probably go back there pretty soon. Jesus' name. We was there, and I'm quite a, my wife could tell you if she would, she won't. But she could, if she would, I'm really a moody individual. And it gets really rough sometimes. And I just get quiet and don't say nothing for days. Not even to her. Just keep my mouth shut. Because it's hard for God to speak. A lot of y'all think God speaks to you every day. I just don't believe that. Sorry. But when He does try to speak to you to make you a hero, you got to listen. You have to hear. And I was 3 days, supposed to be on a vacation touring thing, having a good time with, we had all of our ministry team up there. And at the third day, everybody was just about had enough of that quiet stuff. And I got to a place where there was news again, because we'd been in the mountain, and there wasn't any contact with y'all. I like that. And y'all are a mess of trouble. My goodness. And so we said, I need a little room. All right, I'll push this thing a little forward. Is that better for me? God spoke to me to try to find 5 men. He was one of them, this guy sitting right here. And I tried to locate him, and I couldn't find him. I couldn't find any of them. They're all on the Gulf Coast and in Louisiana Gulf Coast. And they're friends of mine, men that we have worked together for, I don't know, 20-something years. I don't know, his daughters were little whenever I first started coming around them. And now they're all grown up and got their own families. And God spoke to me to take my whole team and go and find them. So what we did, this is what we did. I called the bike ride off. After all those months of training, it wasn't for the bike ride. It was so we could go down yonder and be soldiers and be heroes and save people's lives. I mean, literally, by hundreds and hundreds of people, we saved their lives. I mean, really, really picked them up out of the ditch, and, man, it was something. Hand-fed them, and, man, I like that. You like your guarded homes and your pretty clothes and your good speech. And I like being a hero. I really do. It makes me happy to save people. And so we went hunting. I went down to Texas where our office is, brought the whole team, rest of the guys that working with us, brought them up out of Mexico. We made it our office. It's right there on the border where I just came from today. And we had a meeting. And I told them, you guys got to, everybody's going to bring all your money and you're going to put it on the table here. We're going to go to the bank. And all the money that you have, you're going to bring it and put it on the table here. And most people, including you, don't think that I have the right to do that, but you are so wrong. You are religious. You think what you possess is something you've obtained. And it's mercy that's given it to you. It is not your great clothes, your great flag, your great president, your great nation. It is Jesus. And I love all of those things I just said. I really do. I was just in Guadalcanal over in the Solomon Islands. And I was in front of 4,000 people, and I started it out. I said, I didn't even know where y'all were ever before. The only thing I have invested is one of my uncles. His ship was hit by a kamikaze out here, and he's dead right out there in these straits. The only thing I have invested in you is my uncle's wife. I didn't know you even existed. And then 400 people got saved that night. And that's all. Listen, we went down there. I put all of our money, all the money we had, all the missionaries, 20 families. It was $25,000. To you, that's nothing. But to us, it was everything. Now, I don't know if you even understand all these details I'm telling you now. I don't know if you know it, but we took that and went to Walmart. And to Sam's, and to Target, and to Home Depot. And we split it up into several sections of money, and we went in teams, and we bought, spent all the money, brought it all back, put it down on a concrete slab, sorted it all out, put it in our work trucks, and we went to Mississippi. And we come driving up, and they were still bewildered. They were starting to kind of believe that the sun might shine, maybe. But when we come driving up, and we hugged and kissed, and we started giving out stuff, and we gave everything we had. Took about one day, I think, to give all of our $25,000 worth of stuff up. And we didn't have nothing left. And I went and found all these preachers that were friends of mine that we had helped, and we organized, and God gave me a plan, and we started making some phone calls. And by the time I left, it was 8 weeks that we was there, based out of his church in South Mississippi. What had run through my hands, not counting what had gone through their hands and other people we were working with, was $3.5 million. And when we left, when I had to pull the team and we had to go back to work in Mexico, it was, I think it was 8 weeks, I believe that's right. We had 4 distribution centers, 2 kitchens, and we was doing 4,000 meals a day. And you thought, boy, I wish I could help. And listen, the things I'm fixing to tell you, you don't even have a clue that they're current. I've been on every continent in the last 3.5 months. You hear me? And I got some stuff to tell you. And I don't know if you want to hear it. I have found some good people that are in a bind. They need us. And we're going to help them. First things I want to do is tell you that work in South Mississippi and Louisiana is still going on, and it's well in the millions of dollars now, and it's just thousands of meals a day, and it's still happening. That's a good thing. You know, it was God started it, and He'll finish it. It doesn't matter what FEMA says, your government, or anybody else. If God says He wants to do it, He'll do it. You can get mad at whoever you want to, but you're mad at the wrong person. You're the problem. It's not the government. It's not somebody you pay. It's you missing God and not responding as the church is supposed to dominate. Come on. I'm right. I'm not a novice, and I just got back from wherever you want to talk about. I'm serious. That's not a joke. Watch this. My wife and I got into a war with her kinfolks over Jesus. Because I decided as a kid that me and her was going to serve God. And it didn't make any difference what my daddy and mama said, nor hers. And we lost them all. My parents were smart enough to give it up after 2 years. Hers, it took 27. But listen to this. The other day, we got a phone call from her mama. It was the first time she called us in 27 years. Now listen. She's in an intensive care ward. 5 incurable diseases. Her brothers and sisters are fixed to put her in a nursing home and forget about her, sweep her under the rug, and let the government take care of her. When it's the church's job. Sure is. And Ms. Hogan comes to me and she said, "My mama's in a bind." I looked at her, I said, "You talking about the same one you used to have?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Tell me about it." So she did, and I'm smarter than I look. I didn't say a word. I was pretty hostile at that bunch. And they needed somebody to be hostile at them. So I do, I guess. And she says, "I'm not letting Mama go to the devil." I said, "Miss Hogan, she's been there for a long time." She said, "Yeah." And we fixing to go get her. And then this woman right here, she looks at me and she says, "Now you go get my mama." So what do you think my answer was? Yes, ma'am. See, sometimes God speaks to me, and sometimes Miss Hogan does. But it doesn't matter. I'm a hero anyway. Boy, I love this. What I do for a living, I really love it because I'm at war. You can't believe how hostile I am inside. I'm not kidding you. I have had enough. I am completely full of enough. We took that lady. I don't know the names of them diseases. Well, they ain't relevant. The doctor told her, "You can't go." She said, "I'm checking myself out of the hospital and I'm going." Now, watch what? Now, this is my mom-in-law that didn't believe us for all the million years and had lots of things very negative to say about us. She said, "I'm going where they're going to heal me." Isn't that something? So you give in because you think you have to love them. You don't ever have to love the devil. But you do have to stand in integrity. And when the devil comes, you have to be ready to fight. Always. We brought her in our house. And oh my. Things are not comfortable. Because we don't have nurses and doctors and those things readily available. And she's used to every time her diabetes dropped to 40-something? She was almost dead. Her diabetes dropped down to 40-something. She's used to them rushing her to the emergency room, putting her in intensive care for a week, letting some doctor or somebody stabilize that stuff and get her over all of it, and then put her back out for another test run. But instead, she came to, she was in comatose, and there we was praying in tongues and telling her, don't do that no more. And one by one, them demons left, and she was, 80, 78 pounds or something when we got her. And when we sent her back home, she was 100 pounds and healed. Isn't that nice? So that's what we do. You hear me? Whether it's my mom-in-law, my mama, or whether it is... See, I was just in South Africa. I was in Cape Town. And y'all believe that it's fixed. You need to go make a trip over there so you can know that it's not. And we were in front of several thousand, there was thousands of people in these conferences, and it was wonderful and all that. And I was having a great time, and dozens of people getting saved every night. Never was under 100. Just great time, and God, it was really something. All these different tribal people and all this stuff's happening, and I'm liking it. And one night there, I got knocked out by the Holy Ghost, and I couldn't minister anymore. And I like that more than all of it, because I finally get touched. And so I'm sitting in a chair, and I got these bodyguards. There's lots of, a person like myself that's pretty vocal. Gets people mad at them. So I had these two bodyguards, and both of them were carrying two real nice 357s. I was constantly bumping into them pistols in the prayer line. I'd turn around, bang! My elbow was hurting every night when I'd go home. It's not a joke. And they brought this lady up there that smelled really bad. I was so drunk I couldn't even raise my head up to look at her. The Holy Ghost was just saturated in my body, and I couldn't even raise my head up to look at her. And I tried to be as respectful as possible. It doesn't matter where I'm at. So I reached over there, my hands were on my legs, and I reached over there and just touched her on her thighs. She had the last stages of AIDS. As soon as I touched her, she got knocked on the floor. Boom. She went into convulsions and foamed with this stuff was coming out of her. Man, she smelled bad. And then she just went limp. The next day, the doctors was doing all kinds of tests, and AIDS had left. Yeah. Instant healing of AIDS. In South Africa. Then we went from Cape Town to Johannesburg to Harare to Bulawayo, Zimbabwe. First time I said, holy fire, 1,000 people flew like you shot them with a gun. People started running for the doors. They had never seen the power of God. It was amazing. They brought a little baby down there. Now watch this. 27% of the people in Zimbabwe have tuberculosis. 23% of the people are infected with AIDS. 1,000% inflation a year. The money, I changed over $100 bill, a Benjamin Franklin, had a stack of money about that tall, and it said on there, good for 3 months. Says it right on the money. So you consider yourself and your surroundings is in dire straits. I can put you on a jet in less than 24 hours, have you anywhere in the world, and prove to you that you are wrong. That you are a blessed nation, a good, a blessed people. They brought this baby up there. The mother couldn't hardly get to me because of the press of the people. And the baby's was demon-possessed. And it also had tuberculosis. It also had AIDS. There's nowhere on the planet you can take that baby and get results. Do you understand what I said? Out of my mouth to you? There is not a place, no matter how much they would do a clip of that and run it on your television station and your emotions would go, get a plane ticket for that kid. Where are you going to take it? You have to realize that who you are in Christ and what you have in Jesus is the answer. That woman was begging me to take her baby. So I went down that crowd. I fought my way to her. And I mean, they was pulling my clothes off of me. And I took that baby. And I was walking around with that baby for a long time, praying for people. And I handed it back to the mother later on that evening. The next day she comes back. She got down on her hands and knees and kissed my boots. And I picked her up. I said, "No, ma'am. No, ma'am. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Now, why did you do that?" And she turned around, and there was that little old boy standing there. He was. See? Then I got on a jet and flew to Zambia and then to Malawi. Got off the jet. There wasn't anybody there to pick us up. And let me just tell you, you can't call a cab in Malawi. It'll be a death too. If you want to leave, you're going to have to prepare yourself properly. It ain't like you're not what you're used to. As I'm used to it also. And I walked out there fully expecting there to be somebody. And I'm 800 million miles from anywhere that I know. And there wasn't anybody. And I looked at I had my oldest boy, Jody. I think some of y'all know him. And Jay Williams. He's one of our co-workers. And I turned and looked at him. I said, "Well, here we are." And there ain't no hotel. We don't know where to go. We can't speak the language. And now watch this. There was a taxi driver come up there. And he says, "Look here, I can help you." I said, "Not me, you can't." I said, "The way you can help me is move at least 10 meters away from me. You talk to me from over yonder." I said, "Don't get close to me. See, and you don't think like I think. I've been in all these places and I'm still alive. You go, you might not come back. Because you think different than I do. I believe that everybody's a devil. Until they prove to me they're not." Let me rephrase that. I know they are. So you got to understand something. I'm not mad at you. But I'm right. Now, watch what we did. He says, I can help you. He said, you know why? He said, because I know you. I said, you got me confused, little brother. I said, look at me. I'm white. This is my first time. Look here. Here's my passport. Look right here. This is the first time I've ever been here. You don't know me. He said, oh, yeah. You've been on every television station in the whole nation. He said, you come here to preach the gospel, didn't you? I said, yeah, and what else? He said, and they tell us that you can raise the dead. I said, now you got it. You do know me. You do know me. You sure do. He said, come here. I said, no. I'm not coming here. You go do what you're going to do, and you work it out, and I'll come there in a minute if it works out. So he goes in there, and they saw right off I was a little bit stubborn about going with him. And he brought out this poster. It was 5 feet by 3 feet, and it was my picture on there. He said, this is you. I told you I knew you. I said, you're right. The Avis guy at the airport was one of the pastors what was sponsoring the conference was doing. So he comes running out there and he grabbed my hand and away we went in there and he said, wait, I got a call. So we get in the truck. Finally, they put us in this thing called the VIP room. I don't know them things very well, but I have been in one or two now. And notice there were some important folks in there. The vice president of Malawi was in there with us. The cardinal to the Catholic Church was in there with us. There's lots of VIP people in there. And I told the pastor when he got there, I said, are these VIPs? He said, yeah. I said, then I'm not. So I'm not party with political people. I'm party with the Holy Ghost. He said, all right. And then we went. Now listen, as soon as we left the thing, we're going toward the town. It's 25 kilometers. Little kids, little bitty kids with no clothes, right? They come running out of the bush over there. And they got these things on a stick. Because you see, they ain't got any money. And they're charred rats. So that's what they wanted me to buy so that he could eat. So that he could get food. Do you understand? How many of those did you pass on the way to church tonight? Come on. They brought me to church, and the first service was so big that they couldn't do it inside the building, so they put up these tents, and we was outside. Three-quarters of the presidential congressional house was at the first meeting I was at in Malawi. Did you hear me? All the judges, it was an amazing thing. God is giving us nations. I'm talking about, and there ain't one bullet been fired. It's the power of God that people are looking for. It's not your great sermon. I have one. I probably won't even start it here. I just want to tell you stuff. You need to hear stuff. Because you're not hearing stuff. You are programmed. All these TVs, the channels, the Christian channels, they know how to program what to say to get you to do what they want. But you're not being told how people are really hurting. Because it's everybody. I know that people are hurting here. I got that. But they're hurting at a different level than they are there. But hurt is hurt, I guess, you see. I'm there. I got bishops and cardinals from Zimbabwe, Zambia, Mozambique, Malawi. I got governors and congressmen that have come from all of these great nations, and they're sitting there, and they're great people. They are people who need the power of God to do their job so that their nation can be saved, so that they can be healed. They don't need handouts. Stop giving them handouts. Heal them. I'm talking up there. The place is so packed you can't put another person in there. And the daddy gets up from the very way back. Fights his way through the crowd. He's got this little bitty kid. I thought the baby was dead. It was in a coma. I thought it was dead. And my son intercepted the daddy. He was coming to me. Nothing was stopping him. And this man don't have a house. He lives in a ditch. What drew him to me? What gave him the right to approach me? Come on. Because he knows socially he can't. He knows intellectually he can't. What gave him the right to just all of a sudden stand up and fight his way through that crowd with that little broke boy of his? That's right. My son stood up, went to him, intercepted him. What do you want with my daddy? And my boy's a big boy. You should listen to him. And he just stuck that little baby out toward my son. And my son just took the little kid, just turned, and now here he comes. All right. Do you see that my son never even thought about it? What dad has is the answer. You hear me? And that little boy is bent. Saliva coming out of his mouth. His eyes are... He's in a coma. His eyes are just... It's witchcraft. It's demon spirits. I don't name of the sicknesses. But there ain't no difference. They're the same. And he... And the daddy is just over there just forever more earnestly looking at me. What if God healed him? I took that little boy and I handed him right back to the daddy. The odor of the ditch stayed on me. See, I need that. I need that smell. How else am I going to have understanding if I don't hold them and I don't get them on me? How else can I heal them if I don't touch them? Can you see I'm consumed? Two days later, I was in the most amazing service I've ever been in my life. I ain't going to tell you about it right now. But the daddy came and found me, and he poked that little boy at me. And all he said to me was, "Thank you." And I just held on. This little boy was completely healed. Woohoo! You just take that little old boy, and I mean, he still smells the same. They still live in the ditch. But he's healed. Amen. You don't tell me that ain't a change? What if that little boy grows up? What if God raises him to power? What if God brings him out of that ditch healed and makes him the president of one of the greatest nations of Africa? You reckon he'd remember God? How else are they going to remember him if they don't see him? How else are they going to see him if you don't show him? You're trying to make it seem like it's my responsibility. You're absolutely right. I am. I left there and we flew to, I got my wife and we flew to the Virgin Islands. And to you, the Virgin Islands, the U.S., is vacation. I did go diving while I was there. I'm a diver. I did go snorkeling and I did go fishing. But first, I preached. There's a church there in y'all's U.S. Virgin Islands. It's on fire. They have got the Holy Ghost. And they need help. There was a lady they brought in there, sitting there. 4 years, she had got some kind of sickness, I don't know, and it made her blind. Some kind of medicine she took healed her sickness, but it made her blind. I don't understand the whole story. Ain't even interested. And while she was sitting there, I started talking, you know, like I do. I'm just talking. And then she reached out. I was watching it because I pay attention while I'm talking. It helps you stay alive. And I watched her. She reached over and touched the lady beside her. She said, "Take me up there." Now, this is not the time. It's not time for her to come up there. But here she come anyway. She's the Haitian descent person. Black lady. Brought her up there. "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I want to touch you." I said, "Help yourself." So she started touching me. She said, "What color are you?" I said, "I'm white." I said, "But it don't matter to you, does it?" She said, "No, sir." I said, "You believe, don't you?" She said, "Yes, sir." I said, "It's simple." And I reached up and slapped her on the face. Be healed. It's real easy. By the time she got back to the chair, she was healed. Yeah. Come on. So then after the Virgin Islands, my wife flew home, well, to the border station, to our office. And I flew to a place called Curaçao. It's down there off of Venezuela, 60 kilometers from the coast of Venezuela. They refine all of Venezuela's oil there on Curaçao. Probably another fact you don't know. And so first place they took me was a maximum security cartel prison. Well, I get to go to the most fortunate places to preach. 600 inmates. They won't even arrest you in Curaçao if you are carrying a kilo or less of cocaine. You have to have 3 kilos for it to be an offense. Do you hear what I just said to you? That's a Dutch colony. Y'all blame them. So, now listen. Now listen. I'm sitting in there. There's 150 of these high-performance convicts. And they're in there for some serious problems. These are cartel criminals. That's a different game. This is high dollar business. So I decided they needed to hear the gospel. So I told them they were all devils and going to hell. Guess what they decided? That I was right. And they got up. I'm talking about murderers. Of international murderers, people that have been sought by our governments and they are put in prison there to keep them away from you. And our government pays for lots of that. And I don't know, that's a long way to swim to get here, and there's lots of sharks. It's probably a good thing they're there. 75 of the most notorious criminals in our current generation came weeping and got born again. Yeah. Wow. Good. Left the men's side of prison, went through, I don't know, 7 or 8 more steel trap door things, went into the women's side. They let us in there to preach. The women's side is way less, there are way less women in there of that caliber of convicts. It was 47 women. 32 of them came. And I decided, because I was trying to decide what these women had done, all right? I was sitting there looking at them, trying to figure out what kind of crime. And these people, some of them are beautiful. I mean, goodness. And I'm just looking at them. And this one young girl, 19 years old, got a baby, beautiful girl. She's in there for the rest of her life, no parole. She took an axe and chopped up 2 old people for their car because she needed to go 10 blocks. And she had 5 keys and didn't want to carry it. Isn't that something? So her life forever is destroyed. We got to get these folks, y'all. Do you hear me? The demon is eating them. And the Word of God is so much more powerful. And when they told me that story about her, I went right straight over to her. I was just impressed. I said, I need you to get your axe and come after you. I just don't think you can take me down. But I'll tell you this. I think Jesus can forgive you, even an axe murderer. And right in front of my eyes, I watched her fall on the ground. This hardened, been through the whole process, and is very angry person. And I watched her right in front of us all just to the ground and get born again. Yeah. Isn't that nice? Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Went to service. Place is jam-packed. Had the superintendent of the Assemblies of God for all of the Caribbean had put on this thing in Curacao. And so people were there from all the islands, all the island nations. I'll be going to all of them now because of that one meeting, one set of meetings. There won't be one place out there we won't be preaching. Every island, it's going to be nice. I'm going to dive every spot too. Now what? I'm in a prayer line. Never been to Curacao in my life. Honestly, I don't know how they can live on such a small island. You can drive across it in just a few minutes. But all these people live there. Okay? And there's a man standing there that's four people brought him in, just like in Mark chapter 2. 3 kinds of cancer, incurable. Doctors have given him up. They let him out of the hospital to come to the meeting. He's standing there and they're holding him, 4 people. Groaning in pain is so severe that he can't stop moaning. His wife, watch what she says. If you can do anything, see, this is what they told Jesus. If you can do anything, help me. I looked at her and just smiled. I said, I'll do my best, ma'am. Reaching, got this fellow. I could have picked him up with one hand. He was so little. Laid my hand right upside his face, pretty stout. Let go of him. Went on about my business. Next thing I know, to hear a couple thousand people groan at once when they see a miracle is an awesome thing. Everybody gasped at one time. And I stopped because I'm used to that noise. That's when humans see something that their mind's telling them can't happen, but it is happening in front of them. It's called a miracle. And I turn around and there's that fella that had them three cancers. He's up on the stage by himself with a walker. And I'm looking around for the people and the folks that was trying to help him, had set him up there. He told them, God touched me. Set me up there and let me walk. And he starts with this walker. Picked the walker up, turned, looked at me and said, thank you. Walk. All right. I like it. Can you tell? Left Curacao. Y'all had enough? You want a little more or you had enough? Then we flew from Curacao to Dominican Republic. Went to Haiti and Dominican Republic on the same trip. You think you know devils. Let's look at Jeremiah 23. I was supposed to bring my Amplified. I might need somebody to read it for me. If you have, anybody's got an Amplified Bible, I don't know. I brought the wrong Bible. It's my fault. But I was in the Dominican Republic. And they brought us to a hospital. I'm just telling y'all some stuff as I'm going through. One miracle as I'm going through each nation. Have you noticed? There were hundreds. I mean, hundreds. And I know it was thousands. It was so many hundreds of miracles. Just in the last few months. They took us to a hospital. It was two cancer patients. We prayed for them. Both of them are healed. Right in front of us. Healed right in front. They let them go. They was at church at night. You understand what I'm saying to you? Puerto Rico, awesome place. Haiti, awesome place. You need to go there and preach the gospel. I came back, spent a few days, I think it was four, with Ms. Hogan. Got on a jet and flew around to the other side of the world. Went to New Zealand. New Zealand. From New Zealand, we flew to Fiji. Fiji, Vanuatu, Vanuatu, Solomon, back to Fiji. All of those are nation islands. This was the year God sent me to all these nation islands, island nations. These people, you don't even know that. I got gifts. They give you gifts in these places. I had to leave clothes behind to bring their gifts home to hang them on my wall. But I didn't. I don't hang that stuff up much. I don't believe in idolatry. So I put it in the closet and just open the door and look at it. It's true. But the Solomon Islands, do you know that they were just last generation cannibals? Did y'all know that? I didn't know that. I doubt if I'd have gone. And they still over on the other side of the main island I was on. They still practice it in occult situations, I've been told. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not going. Well, I'm not going. I didn't mean that, Holy Ghost. Now see, I'll have to go. Shouldn't have said that, but there was this lady. There was this lady, street lady. There were several thousand people. It was either 4,000 or 5,000 of them. And we was down at the market. The government had allowed us to have open market, okay, and they gave it to us free. And so we put up all these things, and the people came, and thousands of them came. Yeah, this is in Solomon's. And we was there, and this street lady came. And she had, I don't know, several diseases. And same thing, the odor. Everything's the same. See, the only thing that changes is geography. But the persecution, the hurt, the pain, the suffering, it's all the same. She came up there to me and she says to me, I listened to you last night and I listened to you tonight. Seems to me like you believe what you're saying. I said, yes, ma'am, I do. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you think I'd come all the way around the world from where I come from, the United States of America, and come here and get in this slum with you? Why would I do that and lie to you? What do you have that I need? She said, that's just the problem. It's too good to be true. I said, yes, ma'am, it is. And his name is Jesus. And we laid our hands on her that night. And the very next night, there wasn't she came up there on that platform and took a microphone. And she had been to the hospital, and she was completely healed. All right. I want to look at this. Does somebody have that amplified in here? Nobody? Who? You want to read it? Jeremiah 23 and 29. Would you read that, please, out loud? Jeremiah 23:29.
Is not my word like the fire that consumes all that cannot endure the tests, says the Lord? And like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance.
Isn't that funny? See, the word of God is fire. There's not one thing that can resist it. There's nothing. I was in Sabu, Fiji. And I was under the water at 95 feet. There's this wall. We was in the Pacific thing where the big giant tiger sharks live. 17 or 18 foot long, big old things. And they're always hungry, them things. And I'm not looking forward to meeting one. And the current was so strong, it was being carried. You ride the current diving, and it's a wall dive, and that ocean comes in, hits that thing, and turns. And we was going, and the biggest octopus is fish this big. And the dive master, he calls to me. He taps on his tank, and I look over there, come here. And he got me by the hand, black fella. He did this, shark. And I'm looking, I can't see him. He said, have patience. He's coming. I'm running along the wall of this thing at 90-something feet. There's no escaping this thing. And this shark comes up. He's about 8-9 feet long. Big bull shark. Always hungry for human flesh. And I'm not a master diver. I'm new at this. I'm subject to bolt. But if I do, I die. But if I stay, I've got to fight the shark. So you see, most of your opinion is, why get in the water? Because if you don't get in the water, you'll never know if you got the faith to beat them. But that's tempting God, really. To you it is because you're afraid. But to me it's not, because I'm not afraid. I'm very respectful of my enemy, but I'm not afraid. And he said, there's more sharks. You're not going to get away from the sharks by constantly evading them. Do you hear me? Somewhere along the way, you're going to have to face the shark. Somewhere, and I don't mean going to the wall dive and getting down in the water. I'm talking about in the Holy Ghost. You got to take a stand. You have got to get with a good dive master. You have got to get with the person that understands the surroundings, the terrain, is not afraid of what's out there. And you got to be trained into the power of the Holy Ghost and become a soldier of the gospel. They need us. We flew from Solomon Islands to Vanuatu, because I went furthest west going back toward Hawaii. And so we stopped in Vanuatu. There's these big conferences. The Holy Ghost is moving. This is wonderful. Thousands of people come out. A lady in a wheelchair came. She had a stroke. She hadn't walked in 7 years. She's sitting in a wheelchair for 7 years. People are bathing her, taking care of her 100%. She can't do anything. She can't even crawl. And she starts motioning. She can't talk anymore. She's... And so her son brought her to me. I said, what does she want? She wants you. I said, now listen to what I said. That's good. Where are you going to face it? What is it that's got you stopped? What fear in your young Christian walk, when you were so energetic, when you were so excited about the gospel and you were on fire and you were doing great, what stopped you? What was it that you ran into that had more power than God? I think that's a good question. Because something subdued you. Something calmed you down. Something stopped the wind from blowing in your sails. It's got to be moved. And it's going to take the hammer to do it. It's going to take the fire. I went out in these nations. I faced these devils, these diseases, all these old, ancient spirits. And I watched them all back away from the Holy Ghost. All over the world, I'm telling you. Ancient Africa. Ancient Pakistan, the Middle East. I watched them back away from the Holy Ghost. Your fear is not founded. I watched the Solomon Island cannibals. I watched them bow to the great Holy Ghost. I watched the Fijian cannibals. One of the pastors that was in a pastor's conference, the most perfect setting, where I was talking, I was looking through these open windows. Wasn't any big open windows. 100 yards from where I was speaking was the South Seas. Most beautiful, picturesque. I've never preached in a more beautiful place. There was 200 pastors there from all over Fiji. And the guy gets up, I gotta repent. Come on, man, repent. I gotta repent from cannibalism. And I'm going, oh, dude. You got to listen to me. These old ancient beliefs, because a book in your library says they have been subdued, they are not subdued. Human sacrifice, where I live in Mexico, it is not subdued. We are subduing it. Now, I'm going to stop for right now. I wanted to read that verse to you. Because I'm going in the next couple of hours we got together, tomorrow and the next day, or I don't even know what I'm doing exactly. He'll tell me. They will. I'm going to use this hammer. There ain't a resistance that can stop what I'm doing. Because see, I've got to raise some money, and I've never done it, and I'm not going to hit you up for it. I'm going to do it in prayer and fasting. You know, when I was just in Africa, what I just ran into was a squatter village. That's what they call them. 800,000 families. There is no United Nations. There is no nation that has taken them up. It's not there, y'all. They're dying. Well, it's their own wars. It's their own problems. You're right. And it's mine. Those babies that have been born into this generation, it's not their fault. And it's not their fault. They shouldn't be mad at the rest of the world because they had to live it and die there. So we're going to help them. You hear me? I was telling him that the pastor that I met has a church of 7,000. They take up an offering on Sunday morning and get $70. That's a big offering. 7,000 people. You go to a mega church here, you can raise $1 million in one service. Easy. Nobody's put out. Whew. It's going to take the Word of God. It's going to take somebody that's got a vision, that's not turned by politics and money, that's turned by the Holy Ghost. I believe we can do this. I believe God in us is capable of controlling us and allowing us to help these folks all over the world like that. I believe it. I'm going to do it. I am going to. You'll see. You'll hear it. It'll be a good story for you to think about. It's going to be so much fun. Oh, Zimbabwe, church of 10,000. I'm sitting in there. I'm keynote speaker. Pastor gets up. There's 100 and some odd folks getting born again. Watch what he tells them. 10,000 in this church. We don't have any Bibles to give you new converts. If you know someone that owns a Bible, go and sit with them and read together. Did you hear what I just said to you? And everybody in here that's been born again 10 years or more has more than 10 Bibles in your house now. What did I just say a while ago? Oh, I brought the wrong Bible. And I came on a jet. We can fix these problems. Small amounts at a time. We can do this. My daughter-in-law heard me. I came back from Africa. Man, I'm spelling out these stories. You ought to hear this stuff. I ain't told you nothing. I mean, my family gets the first thing. I bring them in. It don't matter. The other night we got in at 1 o'clock. We was there at daylight. Story after story after story. My daughter-in-law was sitting there, and she just immediately began to weep. And she stood up. Now listen, my daughter-in-law, Cindy, she stood up, she pointed her finger at me, and she said, "You'll fix that." I said, "Excuse me." She said, "You know somebody somewhere that can get some Bibles, and we can get them into Zimbabwe." She said, "You take me. I won't bring no clothes. I'll bring 70 pounds of Bibles." I said, "Okay, darling." Did you hear that? That's how you're supposed to respond when you hear this stuff. The Word of God's a hammer. It can break these problems down. It can solve these problems, but it takes us to do it. God uses us. It's His choice. He chose us. Doesn't the Bible say not we ourselves? We are a chosen generation. We are a royalty. Brother Dave, you can't take on all this stuff. You don't tell me what I can't do. You're liable to be disappointed. I'm going to tell you why. Because I was disappointed in our work. Now listen to this. Our work is getting, every month, we get 3 to 5 dead raisins. Every month. In Mexico. Every month, we're getting between 15 and 30 brand new churches. Every month. I mean, that machine is at full guns. We are balling the demons. It's wonderful. We're taking territory from the devil that has been his from the beginning of time. I am so happy. We're getting between 500 and 2,000 new converts a month. That work is done, it, man. And I'm happy to have stayed, my wife and I, and it's fun. But I was, you know, she could tell you, but of course she won't. It disappoints me when people get okay with what they're doing. Man, look, the problem is you're comparing yourself to somebody on your level. Compare yourself to the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, you've come to a halt. And our work is enormous. It's all the way into Guatemala, all the way up in the U.S. We're all these Indian nations now. I mean, we're doing it. It's good, and I'm happy about that, really, really. We'll soon, it'll be soon, we'll have 1,000 churches. I'm happy about it. It's working. But I go home, and I sit in a chair with my hands on my head, and my wife comes in there, "What's the matter with you?" People won't work. She says, "David, they're working. You're working on them. The blood's coming out of these people, man." I said, "It's been a while since we've had a martyr." I said, "Let's look at it on paper. It's been 5 years since one of our people have died. Something's wrong with that. We're getting soft." See, you go, "Man, you have flipped." No, I hadn't flipped. I'm right. The church group you belong to, how long has it been since y'all had a martyr? Since it began. That's why you don't have no power. You ain't got no blood. I'm going to get off that. I'll scare you too bad. So I told my wife, I said, "I got to do something." I said, "Look at the color of my hair. That's why I'm growing it out, so you can see what color it is. If it's cut off, you think it might not be really that color. But you can tell now that's that color." I said to my wife, "I'm going out in the mountain." She said, "David, that mountain's pretty big for you now." Them things grew. The older I got, the mountain grew taller. It's true. I said, "I understand that, but I am not going to stand by and let it be okay to raise 2 to 5 from the dead. I want more than that. I want more than 30 churches a month. I want more than 2,000 a month. I want more." She said, "Man, you know, that's asking a lot." I said, "No, not yet. I'm still alive." And she knows what that means. You don't. That means I'm going to the hill. And if I don't come back, it's because I wanted it that way. And so I planned this thing, what I just got through doing. I just got off of it. The reason I'm so wild to you is because I've been in the hill for a few days. I've been on a horse doing what I like. Finding villages that have never heard the gospel. going in with a few men, elite, facing down demons that have never had anybody tell them they're wrong. I like it. My son, my youngest boy, Luis Alberto, her baby, we adopted him from Guatemala. I told her I'm taking him, but it's the only Americano that's going. And I'm not taking any of our great elders, our dead raising elders, I'm not taking none of them. I'm not taking any of our famous pastors. I'm going to go look in third generation of our work, the new generation, the ones that have no experience. And I'm going to show them how to raise the dead. I am going to teach them how to walk the mountain, how to drink out of the manantiales, the springs. And I'm going to teach them how to walk the barredas, carreras reales. Everybody else is on paved highways. But we got to get off the road and get on the horse and go find a soul that don't know Jesus. I won't run the highway with you. I'm not going to do it. It's just too many of you out there. You got nice cars, but you're not doing nothing. And I went out in those mountains with those boys. I handpicked 9 young men. None of them could be over 25. None of them could be of famous birth or have raised the dead already. None of them could be good preachers, orators, people who could speak well. I handpicked me 9 soldiers. And I gave each one of them one of my weapons of war. I said, you're now my armor bearer. Let's go find Goliath. Let's hunt him and kill him. And let's parade his head through Jerusalem. And they all said, let's go. Because I knew they would, because that's why I chose them, because I knew they'd say yes. And we got on those horses and we got in that mountain. And I mean, that thing kicked us every way but loose. That thing tore me up. Let me tell you how fun it is. There's nothing you can do that gives you pleasure as me being at the limit of our work in our furthest extreme point where everybody else beyond there carries a gun and will shoot you, including the women. And go out there in those circumstances. I didn't carry any money, no food and water. I carried a raincoat, a flashlight, and that was all. No bedding, no nothing. And I went straight for days. How many people got saved? 20. 20. 20 people in areas that have never heard the gospel. I estimate by the end of the year, our work, because of those 9 men that went with me, we will get 50 churches out of that. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And I'm right. And I figured out another plan. I'll be doing that now every third month for as long as I can do it. Handpicking young people. What if you had a tutor like me? Give up all the martyr talk and all the scary go out beyond the edge of civilization talk. What if you could be tutored by a guy like me that knows how to do what he's talking about? Wouldn't that be something? See, it's the will of God for you. If you are what you say you are and you believe in that you are capable of doing what your word says it can, you get you a handful of young people that are on fire for God and you light them up and you give them an area and you let them work it. One of the nights while I was out there, I was sleeping in the village with the brothers on the floor with the hogs and the dogs and the chickens and fleas and everything. It's not that comfortable, I can tell you. But there's nothing like getting up in the morning and all these villagers coming, right? 5 o'clock in the morning, you're sitting there. And for 2 hours, I'm praying in tongues with them and teaching them how to seek God. One of our best or most powerful directors, very powerful man, he's over about 150 of our churches. Very powerful fellow. Good friend of mine. I got him out of a garbage box in the dump. And now he's a king. he was in a garbage box. Him and his wife living in a dump. And now he's a king. Isn't that something? Anyway, he had a dream that he and I were at this great conference. And there were thousands upon thousands, like as in the hundreds of thousands of people there, that have never heard the gospel. And that God gave him a way to do it. You know what he did? He took all of his churches, all 140-something of them, 150-something churches, pulled in all of his leadership, all the elders, pastors, and everybody, had a big meeting with him. He said, this is what we're going to do. He said, God gave me a sign. Brother David came here. And I was in the mountain. Yesterday, they went out to 70 villages, teams. He organized teams. Put these people in charge. Yesterday, they went out to 70 villages that have never heard the gospel. And I haven't got the report as to how many of them got, how many people got born again, how many churches got started. You understand? We believe we can take Mexico. What do you believe you can do? Stand up, please. I like healing people. I really enjoy it. I was there at, I believe it was Malawi. The head of religious affairs for the nation of Malawi, he is the head advisor to the president of Malawi. He came and let us lay hands on him and speak over him. Now, what's what I said to him? I said, God wants to raise the dead in Malawi. He turned and looked at me. I said, sir, is there not a cause? He said, there is. But how do I get the power of God to do it? I said, now that's where I come in. There was one of those pastors there. We laid hands on. He took one of my belts, actually. One of my preaching belts. That's another story. What guy? In the middle of all of these great meetings we was in, we laid hands on these preachers. And this one guy, he's nuts. He's got a church of 4,000 or so, and that's not big for over there, though. And he's nuts. Well, this guy, I really like him. He was riding a car. There was a car wreck. The police had put the dead on one side and the herd on another side and was trying to get things sorted out. He comes driving up, him and some of his pastor friends. They get out, they walk up there. They get permission from the police. And he didn't walk over to the ones that were hurt. He walked over to the dead. Because I told him, start with the dead and work your way out. Because see, your mind tells you, well, let's start with a headache and work our way in. No. No, you go to the top. The thing that bothers you the most, that's where you hit it. That's what you hit first. He walks over there, lays his hands on these dead people. The police, the coroner, everybody had already pronounced them dead. They're moved aside, right? He lays hands on them. They get up from the dead. The police, everybody runs. Serious. Listen to this. This is recorded history from Malawi. The first recorded dead raisins in Malawi. You got to hear this. What I'm telling you is the truth. Would you please lift your hands to Jesus? And we thank the great Holy Ghost. That's what we do. Great Holy Ghost. Great Holy Ghost. See, the lady with the stroke in Vanuatu, y'all didn't tell me to finish that. We laid our hands on her and she got up out of that wheelchair. In front of everybody. God is doing this stuff in the open. It's wonderful. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. I can't begin to tell you how happy I am about this. That God's let me be in on it. All you have to do is what the Word of God says. You don't have to worry about getting a second opinion. You don't have to have counsel. If the Word of God says do it, that's what we do. I'm always getting asked these questions. Well, how do you do it? It's really easy. Ready? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's get us a couple of these musicians. Y'all like music, soft background stuff. That's what y'all do. And let's worship God a minute. It's all right. I'm okay with soft background stuff. Just most of the rest of the world, it ain't there, but it's all right. It was here. We're here. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Ghost. Excuse me, sir. Jesus. I have to see, every time I talk, I'll have to see if there's somebody that don't know Jesus. I'm responsible for that, and I take that responsibility. So let me tell you all how it operates. This is how it works. I am grateful now for what people do. I'm not grateful, but I was preaching in behind this bishop. In Zimbabwe, he was a native man from there, and I was the foreigner. And he gets up there and he's talking these numbers. A big jet, several of these big transporter planes came in from the United Nations. And they had cameras, and several different dignitaries from lots of different nations were there. They had 100,000 injections to help Zimbabwe children. They came and they gave all these injections. The problem was they needed 8 million injections. They came and did their 100,000 and brought it back and showed you what good they did. So you'd keep giving them money. But what about those other 7.9 million children? That bothers me. Woo! Boy, I mean, he was right. We got to come up off of it. We got to do this. Do you know who we are? We are God's chosen. You are not going to shrink back from your responsibility. I'm not going to let you. I'm going to growl at you and huff at you till you listen. Please. While we was in Haiti, it was one of those dark times that y'all knew about a few months ago. The border got rushed while we was there. Boy, I wanted out of there. I wanted out of there. I didn't have any guns. I didn't even have a machete. Whew. All I had was one little black book that said that God is enough. So I told the men with me, I said, we're not running. It ain't about colors. It's about blood. This blood don't run. It's called the Holy Ghost. You've got to get this. They need us. Your neighbor needs us. These great homes in this great affluent area that we're in right here. There's so much you can do, but you got to reach it first. You've got to provide a platform, not of compromise, but of anointing, that will cause them to look at you and be drawn to you. I didn't come in a C-130 when I landed in Malawi. I was even unrecognized and unnoticed when I got there. But when I got to that church, 3/4 of the government was there. What brought them there? Was it my hair? Was it my upbringing? What did they come out to see? Same thing you did. You want to see it. So do I. So do I. And God wants to show it. They're going to give us a free stadium when we go back. President's paying. Go figure that. They told me, north to south, east to west, the whole nation's going to be invited. I can't wait. This is going to be a highlight of my life. Going and getting the whole nation. Boy. God's given nations. Nations. Can we do this? Say you want to, but see, what was it that stopped you? We deal with that now. Okay? I'm not trying to embarrass you, hurt you. I'm not trying to dig up your past. Hey, I got just as many obstacles in front of me, probably more. I'm a little bit more high profile than some of y'all. Not some of you, but some of you. I mean, I go into all these continents and challenge every devil. And they want a piece of me. So I tell them, yourself, everybody else does. Come on. I need you to rise up. Many of you sitting in here feel like the bones. Dry and dusty, dead. commands you in Jesus' name. Rise to our hour. We can do this. And we can do it with humility. A king sent his messenger to me just week before last. We're coming to help you, Brother Hogan. So you know what I told him? Here I am. Help on. But with you, it'll be lots easier. Without you, we're still going to get the job done. And I tell you the same. Come on, church, please. It's not a day of offense. It's a day of reckoning with the Lord. It's a day of reconciliation to the Holy Ghost. Es tiempo a soltar la unción del Espíritu Santo. It's time to give freedom to the Holy Ghost. Should have heard my elders. Brother Hogan, don't go without us. Should have heard my men. Brother David, please, let some of us go with you. No. No, I don't need you. I need Jesus. I need to be in the position where every breath I need faith. Otherwise, I'll get comfortable. And something will cause me to compromise eventually. I told him, I love you, but I need Jesus. I've got to get myself in the position to where it's Jesus I'm looking at. It's Jesus that has my answer, not me. I'm talking about some of the best soldiers. My men were standing in the streets, my elders and my men, crying. I rode off on a horse. I see y'all. You ain't got enough stories? Of course I do. It ain't about stories. It's about Jesus. It's about standing in a village that has never heard the gospel and opening your Bible and speaking Jesus for the first time. And people looking at you and, what? What is this you're saying? It sounds like a dream. Oh, but it's bigger than a dream. Come on. Come on! Should have seen the look on the witch doctor's face when I rode up on the horse. Ride right up to their house and get off and knock on the door. How y'all doing? I'm doing good. Your God is a false God. I serve the true and living God. Jesus, or you're backslidden your spirit, I'd like to pray with you, please. Would you and your wife pray with me and your kids? Y'all stand up here, please. If there's anybody that don't know Jesus, or you're backslidden your spirit, we didn't come here to embarrass you, to confuse you, hurt you. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to rout the enemy. I'm not afraid. I've been on every continent this year, I'm telling you. It's nice. It's nice. I tell you, it's real. I was standing in Fiji the other night. There was about 5,000 people standing there. probably 50 or 60% were Hindu Indian. They brought me the blind, the halt, the lame. And they said to me, "Your God can do this." I said, "My God can do this." I said, "You folks have 300 million gods. And ain't one of them can do what mine says he can. And now I'm going to show you that he can." Listen. Cripples standing up, walking and running and leaping and worshiping God. Blinded eyes opening. Tumors falling off of people. Deaf and dumb. Born that way. I got a reason to be stirred up. And also, I got invited to a fishing trip where ain't nobody on the boat but me gonna have less than a $500 million U.S. dollars. I'm the only one. And I asked him, "Why was I invited?" "Because we like the way you shout." So I would suggest to some of y'all, if y'all looking to get around some rich people, start shouting. Also, I can out fish them, so that's another thing. All right, look. If you're sick in your body, come up here. It don't make me any difference how many times you've been prayed for. If you feel like you are one of the people that I've been talking to and about tonight, that you know you've hit a snag. Something that stops you. Come here. Come to me. Don't be afraid or ashamed. We're going to let God fix this. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. With me for a second. We was down there doing Katrina. We nicknamed him Wolverine. Because his way, he looks like that X-Man on that movie y'all shouldn't have seen. But you did anyway. We need some ushers. Wolverine and his beautiful wife's gonna pray for y'all. This fella right here and his wife's gonna pray. Me and my wife. We're gonna pray. Jesus is going to touch and help his last. What I need you to do is simple. We're going to need some ushers up here. All right. It's simple. What do you want? Say it right out of your mouth to Jesus. Do it right now. There was a guy called me this week and said, "I'm sending you $3.5 million U.S. dollars. You know what I said? Send it. You're impressed when the bank, calls, not when a man calls. South Africa. And since apartheid got overthrown, there hadn't been any white people in these townships, these villages. And they let me go in, and I didn't know that. So I went in there and preached the gospel. And they told me, "We don't know why they didn't kill you. first white man to go out in those villages. Listen to me. I'm talking about South Africa. Those places shouldn't exist on our planet. Why do I find them? Why? Something's wrong, isn't it? Come on, we can do it. We can do it. Holy Ghost! We can do this. Jesus. Is everybody ready? Y'all have made your request known to the great Holy Ghost. Me too. Okay, I want you to receive now. Demon tried to kill Miss Hogan yesterday. Yesterday. They told me she was 100% fine. That area. Holy Ghost. Listen to me. I know y'all are smarter than I am. But there's something I need you to do. I need you to receive. There's no difference in taking a breath of air. There's no difference. Taking a breath of air. Breathe it in. You take this side. You take the middle. I'll take this side. Easy. Ready? Be healed. See how easy it is? Look at how easy it is. Anointing. Healing. Health, life, peace, in Jesus' name. Okay, it's fine. Need some ushers. Hello.